you to live in the highest state of silent knowing, that place deep within you that can't be communicated to any other. Consequently, you might want to change your thinking about whom you consider to be wise or learned. Persuasive speakers with a good command of the language, who are forceful in their pronouncements and confident in their point of view, are generally considered to have superior knowledge. But Lao Tzu suggests that precisely the opposite is true. Those who talk, he says, aren't living from the place of silent knowing, so they do not know. As you modify the way you look at this presumption, you'll see several differences in the way your world appears. First, you'll note that those who are compelled to pontificate and persuade are almost always tied to an attachment of some kind. Perhaps it's to a point of view, to being right, to winning, or to profiting in some way. And the more talking they do, the more they appear to be swayed by such attachments. The second thing you'll notice takes place within you. You begin to see your inclination and desire to persuade and convince others. Then you begin to listen more attentively, finding yourself in the secret embrace of the primal union that Lao Tzu describes. Your need to be knowledgeable or dominant is replaced by the deep realization that it's all irrelevant, and you lose interest in seeking approval. Living in silent knowing becomes the process that casts your existence in a different light. You have less and less of an edge and feel settled, softer, and more centered. As you change how you think about what it means to be intelligent and wise, you'll come into contact with the irony that sums up this wonderfully paradoxical section of the Tao Te Ching. Lao Tzu says that the sage who lives by the Tao is far beyond the cares of men, yet holds the dearest place in his heart. I'd sum it up this way. Those who care the least about approval seem to receive it the most. Since such individuals aren't concerned with how they're perceived, either honorably or in disgrace, they don't seek praise or run for it. While their calm wisdom may make them appear to be aloof, they actually end up gaining the respect of everyone. You have this place of silent knowing within you right now. And the following is what Lao Tzu suggests for adapting the paradoxical language of this verse of the Tao Te Ching to your world. First, he says, block all the passages. Get honest with yourself about wanting to win the favor of others. You don't have to prove anything to anyone, and you'll never succeed by droning on and on. Remember that those who talk do not know. Or as one translation of this verse simply states, shut your mouth. Silence is your evidence of inner knowing. Talking to convince others actually says more about your need to be right than their need to hear what you have to say. So rather than trying to persuade others, keep quiet. Just enjoy that deeply satisfying inner awareness. And second, use the acronym BUSS, B-U-S-S, to remember the four directives of this verse. First, B, blunt your sharpness. Do this by listening to yourself before you let your judgments attack someone else. A better course of action is to just listen and then silently offer loving compassion to both yourself and the other person. You, untie your knots. Detach from what keeps you tied to worldly patterns. Untie the knots that bind you to a life that's dedicated to showing profit and demonstrating victory, and replace them with silently contemplating the Tao in the secret embrace. S, soften your glare. Notice when your need to be right is glaringly obvious, and let the soft underside of your being replace your rigid stance. Your impulse to glower at external events is alerting you that you're out of touch with your inner silent knowing. And S again, settle your dust. Don't kick it up in the first place. Realize your inclination to stir up dust when you feel a diatribe about to erupt on how others ought to be behaving. Stop in the middle of pounding the table or angrily screaming and just observe yourself. Since your emotions are like waves on the ocean, learn to watch them return to the vast, calm, all-knowing source. Do the Tao now. Spend an hour, a day, a week, or a month practicing not giving unsolicited advice. Stop yourself for an instant and call upon your own silent knowing. Ask a question rather than giving advice or citing an example from your life, and then just listen to yourself and the other person. As Lao Tzu would like you to know, that's the highest state of man. The 57th verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, if you want to be a great leader, you must learn to follow the Tao. Stop trying to control. Let go of fixed plans and concepts, and the world will govern itself. How do I know this is so? Because in this world, the greater the restrictions and prohibitions, the more people are impoverished. The more advanced the weapons of state, the darker the nation. The more artful and crafty the plan, the stranger the outcome. The more laws are posted, the more thieves appear. Therefore, the sage says, I take no action, and people are reformed. I enjoy peace, and people become honest. I do nothing, and people become rich. If I keep from imposing on people, they become themselves. Unquote. Living without authoritarianism. In this and some of the following chapters of the Tao Te Ching, Lao Tzu counsels the rulers of 2,500 years ago on how and why to pursue a high quality of leadership. His advice is pertinent today, in the 21st century, to all forms of leadership, including government, business, and in particular, parenting. The essential message in this 57th verse is to allow rather than interfere. Now, I don't interpret this to mean letting an infant crawl into traffic or leaving a child alone near a swimming pool. Obviously, you must be sensible when supervising those who could harm themselves or others. What I believe Lao Tzu is conveying here is that allowing is quite often the highest form of leadership. He states that more people are impoverished in societies with excessive restrictions and prohibitions. The same can be true in families with commandments that must be obeyed without question. The more authoritarian any system is, the more outlaws will appear. On the other hand, when children are encouraged to explore and exercise their inquisitiveness, they're inspired to be their best with little need for regulation. So when you change the way you view the need for rules, family members will tend to make decisions based upon what's best for everyone rather than themselves. See what happens, for instance, if you drop an absolute curfew time for your teenagers, asking them to just be sensible about when they come home and to notify you if they're going to be later than normal. You may find that because you didn't impose yourself on them, they end up coming home even earlier than when they had a strict curfew governing their conduct. Examine the restrictions that you enforce in your family. Remember that effective parents don't want to be leaned on. They want to make leaning unnecessary. After all, you want your children to be responsible, healthy, successful, and honest, not simply because you're there to monitor them, but because it's within their nature to do so. So set an example and let them see that it's possible to be self-sufficient and enormously successful. Allow them to learn to trust in their highest nature rather than having to thumb through a rule book to decide what's right. Change the way you look at the need for edicts, laws, and prohibitions, and see yourself as someone who doesn't need to rule with an iron fist. Then enjoy taking this revised view of your leadership abilities into